Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I'm going to read from part of Ephesians 6 from the Truth Version. So you're familiar with your version that you normally use. So just listen to this. Above all, be strong in your faith and dependence on the Lord, on His might and power. He has provided His protection for you in several ways. Clothed with His gifts and resources, you will be able to stand against all the devil's disruptive tactics. Your battle is not against people, but against the negative spiritual forces that influence and control them, against the spiritual rulers, authorities, and powers that are at work in this world that is in bondage to the darkness of sin. They are in league with these evil spiritual forces that exist outside the world. So accept everything God has made available to you so that you can stand steadfast when evil attacks. Yes, no matter what happens, you are able to stand firm and to remain standing. You wear the shoes of the gospel so that you are always ready for any eventuality and can walk in peace. Your faith is like a shield that enables you to overcome anything the devil throws at you. His truth is like a belt that you keep around your waist for support. His righteousness is like a breastplate that protects you. The assurance of your salvation is like a protective helmet, enabling you to counter all the devil's lies and efforts to deceive you in your thinking. You have not only a defensive shield, but an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Whenever you pray, depend on the Spirit to lead you and fill your prayer with His life and power, no matter what you are asking of God. How important to pray in the Spirit continually for all your fellow believers. And pray for me also. Whenever I speak in the Lord's name, I need Him to supply what I say so that I will be able to reveal the truth of the gospel to those with no spiritual understanding. I am still an ambassador of the truth, even though I am in chains at present. So I pray that despite everything, I will be bold in declaring the truth without any fear. Hallelujah. Sunday morning, you had an example of apostolic ministry. When I go to other churches, that's typical of what God will do through me, speaking right into the heart of the congregation. On Sunday, it was like doing an apostolic visitation to my own home church. Amen. The difference is, of course, when I'm speaking in other churches, I don't know anything really about the issues, and I'm having to trust the Spirit to give me the words to speak. But then that was true also on Sunday. I was aware of certain issues that God was addressing. There were probably a whole lot more that I'm unaware of. But God had told me that if I was faithful in addressing the issues that needed to be addressed, He would be faithful in fulfilling the promises that He has given concerning the provision we need at this time. On Monday morning, £42,000 was deposited in the Kingdom Faith account. Hallelujah. That's a measure of the faithfulness of God, of the mercy of God, and of the grace of God. It's the fruit of being obedient in doing what the Lord tells you to do. Now, of course, God raised a number of issues, and these issues are going to have to be worked through in the lives of everybody in the church. Just when you speak a word like that, that encompasses so many things, there is an immediate response, but then there has to be a working through of that response so that it finds practical application in people's lives. Because what God was talking about was not simply knowing the gospel, but living in the good of it. So that isn't something you do at a meeting. That is something you do with your life. And yesterday, I did something I normally never do. I never really like to hear myself preach. Once I've delivered a message, it's from the Lord. But I've got a new sort of PC, and I was fiddling about with it and getting on our own website. And before I knew where I was, I'd pressed the button that meant I was listening to Sunday's message. And I just felt the Lord saying, just sit and listen. So I did, and I listened to the whole message. And one of the things that really hit me, because as you know, I don't plan beforehand what I'm going to say. But one of the things that really hit me as I listened was how scriptural it was, not only in its content, but in the way in which the Spirit was addressing the whole situation. It was just like the letters to the churches that we read in Revelation 2 and 3, where the Spirit begins with encouraging with the faith. And on Sunday, we had, first of all, this encouragement about the cross and about the fact that we are forgiven, totally made acceptable. It was very faith-building and people living, knowing that there's no condemnation and we're in complete freedom. But then, as in those letters in Revelation, there was then but this I have against you. And God then started to address situations that obviously must be in the hearts and lives of some of the people that were there, wanting to cleanse the body. Now, this is always a first step towards revival. God cleanses the body before he releases what he wants to do in and through the body. And then, of course, at the end of those letters in Revelation 2 and 3, it talks about the overcomers. And so at the end on Sunday, we had this revelation of the mighty warrior and how we will overcome because he goes before us to enable us to have the victory. So I sort of sat there and listened and thought, wow. But then there is only one Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit inspired Revelation 2 and 3, and the Holy Spirit was at work on Sunday. So praise God. And so I was obviously praying yesterday, Lord, how do you want to follow up on what you were saying on Sunday today? And I never preach on Ephesians 6 unless the Spirit really moves me to. And the reason for that is it's such an overworked passage of Scripture that I very seldom speak about it, but when I do, it is because the Spirit is telling me to. And as I was doing the translation of this a few months ago, I suppose about a year ago now, I think I did Ephesians, I was conscious of the Lord saying to me, people always focus on the pieces of armor rather than what the pieces of armor mean. So I want you to focus on what the pieces of armor symbolize, what they mean, what they signify. And so that's what I've attempted to do in this translation. But you see, in the passage that we read, the first statement, above all, be strong in your faith and dependence on the Lord. All God's purposes are accomplished by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the scripture says. And all that is not of faith is sin. If something is not motivated by faith, it does not come from the Lord. So, how important it is that God is making us a people of faith. And Jesus, of course, has to be our focus. That became clear on Sunday morning, didn't it? We've got to keep our focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he is the author and perfecter of your faith. So faith only grows by keeping your focus on Jesus. And that's why the enemy always wants to get people's focus off of Jesus and onto self and onto the circumstances and onto the problems, so that people sit around thinking about their problems or talking about their problems, and when they come together, they share about their problems, and the Lord just doesn't get a look in. And faith is nowhere evident in that kind of context. So it's very important that what God is doing now to the whole body of Kingdom Faith is cleansing out all the negative, ungodly, unbiblical attitudes and restoring faith in the basic principles of the gospel, in what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, so that we live in what Paul calls the glorious liberty of the sons of God. He wants there to be that freedom in the lives of every one of us. And those of you who've been here, well, it's only just 3 weeks, really. 3 weeks yesterday you arrived, and already you are experiencing an increase of freedom in your life, because God has been raising you to another level of faith. Unbelief is bondage. It is spiritual bondage. And that is why the devil wants to get people's eyes off of Jesus, off of the answer, and onto the circumstances, onto the problem. Because the devil's business is to put people into bondage. Our purpose is to set people free from bondage. So what is at work are different spiritual forces. And those of you who are on the team or will know that some time ago, some months ago, I brought a word, I think it was probably in the keynote, about the fact that if we are not being led and motivated by the Holy Spirit at any given moment in our lives, then we're being led by some other spirit. Now, of course, because we're people of the Holy Spirit, that does not mean that everything we do will be of the Spirit if we allow some other spirit to influence us. And what keeps you walking in the Spirit is faith. Faith working through love, because the Holy Spirit, as Jesus says, is the Spirit of truth who guides us into all the truth. And you can only walk by faith if you're walking in the truth. And that's actually the essence of what God was saying, especially in the first part of the message on Sunday. I'm just helping you students to understand, you see, how the Spirit constructs a message when he is wanting to speak right into the hearts and minds of his people. So it's a question of us receiving that revelation of truth and living in the power and the good of it, so that we live by faith and dependence on the Lord. Nothing is more difficult for me than to sit and listen to people speaking out of unbelief. I find that so incredibly difficult, because for years and years and years, I've been a person of faith who has been teaching faith and inspiring faith in others. And I know that faith is the only way. And the reason why the Kingdom Faith motto is faith working through love is because that's what Paul says is the only thing that counts. So if we're not motivated by faith, then we're not being motivated by the Holy Spirit. Because, as we read in 2 Corinthians 4, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith. And this is why Paul is saying, we're not fighting people, but we're fighting the negative spiritual powers and influences that affect people. Now, it isn't that Christians get possessed by demonic powers, but they get oppressed and they come under the influence of those powers. How, if we are people who are filled with the Spirit of God, if we're the sons, children of God, how is it that these evil forces can have any influence? What opportunities do we give them? You see, the scripture says, and this is a command, give no opportunity to the devil. So what does give opportunity to the devil? Well, when we depend upon ourselves instead of depending upon the Lord. And the way that we normally do that is by depending upon our reason rather than depending on revelation. When we depend upon reason, we depend upon our natural minds. When we depend upon revelation, we depend upon the mind of Christ. And that's the big difference. Because with our natural mind, we only have limited understanding. And the natural mind can only conceive what is possible in the natural. But the Spirit is supernatural, and faith is supernatural. Faith is believing the supernatural to take place within our natural context. So the person of faith is expecting the supernatural activity of God every day of his life. That when we pray, we're not expecting natural answers, but supernatural answers. And when we speak, we should be speaking within that context that our expectation is that God will move supernaturally. But I mean, even though you students have only been here 3 weeks, you new students, you know by now that your prayer language has to be matched by the rest of your conversation. That you can't say one thing in prayer and then another thing when you're talking to others. There has to be a consistency. If you are praying with faith, you will speak with faith. You will have a faith mentality, you will have faith language, you will have faith expectations. Everything will be of faith. Yeah. And you see, what God was saying on Sunday is that he needs to bring the whole of Kingdom Faith into a unity in faith. Because only then can his best purposes be outworked in our lives. So all the negative, the unbelief and the fear and the doubts and all that kind of stuff, all that has to be faced. There has to be repentance. And that repentance will then enable the release of faith. Everything you've heard me say many times, all of God's purposes are actually activated in our lives by repentance and faith. Jesus made that clear right at the beginning of his ministry. The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. So that's what Sunday was about. It was about a repentance. There was, I think a deep repentance happening, probably certainly in some people who God would have convicted and seen their need for that. But also then a release of faith. A release of faith that the mighty warrior is going to lead us. He is going to break through. He is going to do all his stuff. And it's interesting, you see, that God should have given that a few weeks ago, that revelation, because the next thing Paul says is he has provided his protection for you in several ways. Just as he cannot be subject to anything that is able to penetrate his defenses, so if our faith and trust is in him, nothing will be able to penetrate our defenses, because he is our shield. He is our protection. He is our refuge, our stronghold. Our trust is not in ourselves, but in him. So Paul says, clothed with his gifts and resources, you will be able to stand against all the devil's disruptive tactics. Because that's his business. He wants to disrupt. He wants to divide. He wants to separate. He wants to confuse. He wants to cause all kinds of negativity in the hearts of individual believers and amongst them corporately. Because if there isn't unity, the army cannot move ahead into battle victoriously. And again, that's what we saw. So we can stand against all the devil's disruptive tactics. But what does the devil employ in order to try to cause that disruption? Well, he uses his forces. Just like we depend upon Jesus, we depend upon the Holy Spirit, we depend upon the Father, we depend upon the Word of God, we depend upon the anointing that he's given us, so the devil uses his negative forces, demonic powers, authorities, and spirits. And what Paul is saying is we've got to be alert to this. Because we have to take the shield of what? The shield of faith against all these disruptive tactics. But you see, if people are not operating by faith, the shield is not in place, and those negative spirits can influence people. And do. Because the devil does not miss any opportunity that's given to him. Doesn't the scripture say he's prowling around like a lion, looking for someone to devour? And doesn't the scripture say that sin is crouching at the door, just waiting for the opportunity? So we need to take the shield of faith. But you see, it's not just taking a shield. Your faith is your shield. Come on, come on, come on. Your faith is your shield. So if you are not operating in faith, you don't have the shield. The shield is not in place. You know, I talked about how the Roman army used their shields. But you see, if the soldiers did not put the shield in place and they just walked into battle like this and all the arrows were being fired at them, they would just be taken out. They would have the shield, but the shield was not in place. So to everyone is given the measure of faith, the scripture says, but if our faith is not in place, in position, then we are vulnerable. Amen? And that's when the devil can get through with these insidious spirits of disobedience, unbelief, rebellion. Why? Because all these demonic spirits are in rebellion against God. So if people allow themselves to be influenced by those spirits, that will inevitably put them in rebellion against God, even though that may not be their intention. So you see, they find themselves speaking against the purposes of God, speaking against his people, speaking against leadership, and they don't realize they're being motivated by a spirit that is opposed to God. Why? Because it seems so reasonable. That what they're doing to them seems reasonable. But actually, it's not reason that is working. Because they depend upon their reason, these negative alien spirits can operate. And that's why Paul says our real battle is not against the people, but against the spirits that influence and operate through people, even though they don't intend that to be the case. That's why when we came to the time of prayer on Sunday, we came so strongly against those spirits. We are not allowing those negative, disruptive, we're not allowing that spirit of rebellion, we're not going to, because that's the spirit of witchcraft. You see, what is the spirit of witchcraft in Scripture? It's the spirit that curses. Rebellion will bring curse, not blessing. And rebellion, you see, is actually opposed to the authority of God. It opposes the authority of his word. It opposes the authority of the Spirit. It opposes the authorities that God has put in place within his body. And you can't dress it up. There is no, scripturally speaking, there is no way that you can dress it up. It is rebellion against God because there is influence from rebellious spirits that are opposed to the truth, they're opposed to the gospel, they're opposed to faith in Jesus. Are we getting this? So this is very important stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you guys, you students, you're getting a wonderful lesson here. I mean, you learn the principles that are at stake now, and these principles will live with you for the rest of your life. But it means that we all have to be alert to the ways in which the enemy wants to influence us, and therefore, even unbeknown to us, wants to use us to cause disruption and division. So, you know, you might have a Christian who casually starts gossiping about somebody and doesn't realize that a demonic spirit is actually influencing him as he gossips.
That's it. Absolutely.
The devil is laughing all the way to hell. Why? Because disobedience to the word is inspired by a spirit that is opposed to the truth. A lying spirit, a deceiving spirit, an unbelieving spirit, a rebellious spirit. No matter what you name it, they are all opposed to the truth. And that's why Jesus says that the devil is the father of all lies and has been a liar from the beginning. To put our trust in reason is to put our trust in lies, because reason is not the truth. The revelation that God brings is the truth. It's not that God is unreasonable. He is beyond reason. Nobody can reason his way to God. Nobody can reason his ways to the purposes of God. No one can reason his way to healing. No one can reason his way to provision. No one can reason his way to answered prayer. It can only come by faith in the revelation of truth that the Holy Spirit brings, because the Word and the Spirit will then operate together in harmony in our lives. Hallelujah. So, clothed with his gifts and resources, you will be able to stand against all the devil's disruptive tactics. something happened to me on Sunday morning. I think while I was preaching afterwards, I mean, for the rest of that day, there was a tiger inside me. I mean, that's what it felt like. And God had been speaking to me for several weeks, saying, I want you to rise up in your apostolic authority. And you know, I just felt there was a fresh release of authority. Why was that? Because I'd been obedient in doing what the Lord told me to do. And you see, authority and faith belong together. You remember that Jesus commended the centurion for having faith beyond anybody else in Israel. Why? Because he understood authority. He was a man under authority, and therefore he could exercise authority. And Jesus tells us to exercise faith by exercising authority. Speak to the mountain, command it to be moved. You have the authority to bind on earth what is bound in heaven, to release on earth what is released in heaven. You have the authority to forgive sins. You have the authority to speak, to pray, to act in his name. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the authority always to act in his name. But you can only act in his name when faith is operating. You cannot act in the name of Jesus without faith. Where there is dependence upon self and dependence upon reason and dependence upon your own understanding, you are not acting in the name of Jesus. I mean, you've only got to look at Jesus to see how he operated all the time in faith. I can do nothing myself, he said. I do only what I see my Father doing. That's faith. I speak no words of my own. I speak only the words my Father gives me to speak. That's faith. I haven't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That's faith. And that's the way that God is calling us to live. So Paul says, your battle is not against people, but against the negative spiritual forces that influence and control them. Now, those are two distinct stages. The devil wants to influence us with his negatives. If we give in to that, that will become control. Because what happens to a person is he gets into a negative mentality. A mentality of unbelief. A mentality of fear. Or whatever it may be, it'll be negative. So when you get a mentality like that, everything you look at through that negative mentality. So even when things are good, they don't look good, you always look for the, well, where's the catch? This can't last. There's going to be trouble down the road. See, this is the negative mentality. And it produces fear. Not faith for what is going to happen, but fear of what might happen. That's evidence of the devil's influence. That's evidence of the negative mentality. Faith is always positive. Faith always expects the best. That's why the Word of God says never expect to be sick.
Right.
It doesn't say you never will be. It says never expect to be sick. Never expect the negative.
Come on.
Even David understood that. He wrote Psalms about it. Anyway, we've got to keep moving on. So your battle is not against people, but against the negative spiritual forces that influence and control them. Against the spiritual rulers, authorities, and powers that are at work in this world that is in bondage to the darkness of sin. So the devil has a sort of a whole panoply of different spiritual forces. Those that attack individuals, those that are over towns, over areas, over nations. And we only have really limited understanding of how all that works. But if you're a person of prayer who engages in spiritual warfare, you will be aware of those various forces. And if you're wise, you see, you don't take on forces that are beyond your anointing. If you're going to come against forces over nations, then that's something you need to do corporately. Not just on your own. But you have the responsibility to keep your life clean from all the influence of these negative forces. That's why, you see, the scripture says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's your responsibility. You have to resist the devil. But you see, you will only resist the devil if you first submit yourself to God, which means you first submit yourself to his word, you first submit yourself to his authority, you first submit yourself to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise, you will be led by reason, you'll be led by your own understanding, you'll be led by all these negative forces that will take that opportunity to lead you away from the truth instead of into the truth. Are we getting understanding of all this?
Yes.
Now, all these powers that are at work in the world, Paul says, are also in league with the spiritual forces that are at work in the heavenlies. God has his heavenly forces. God has his forces here on earth. The devil has tried to counter that. For the most part, what we are concerned to do is to keep the ground clear here on earth, in your life and corporately in the body of Christ, so that nothing will hinder us from moving forward in his purposes. See, you guys are so blessed because you have all this time to listen to this. And you know, even people in the church, they don't have all this teaching. I mean, they do have it, but they have it in bits and pieces, you know. And it's not quite the same, is it, as being able to build up and explain. You see, everybody experienced what God did on Sunday morning, but you guys have got this opportunity to evaluate it, to understand it, to see what the Spirit is doing, to see where he goes next. Other people in the church don't have that advantage. So you are really blessed. And that's why we need to pray for everybody that's in the church. So then Paul says, so accept everything God has made available to you so you can stand steadfast when evil attacks. One thing is sure, evil will attack. Jesus is quite clear about that. They will treat you like they treated me. He was under constant attack, so will you be. You wouldn't believe some of the attack that I have been under over the years. You don't hear me talk about it because it's in the past. And by the grace of God, here I stand. Why? Because when your trust is in the Lord, he brings you through every attack. Sometimes people are attacking me without realizing they're attacking me. Why? Because there's so much spiritual deception out there. People don't understand what they're doing half the time. They really don't. Even though they're Christians, they do not understand the spiritual reality of what they are doing if they oppose those whom God has raised up in authority. They just don't understand. They don't understand that that to God is rebellion against his authority because he put those authorities in place. Most people have never read Watchman Nee's Spiritual Authority. If they had, they would live by the fear of God and wouldn't dare to criticize those whom God has put in place. And, you know, when we were looking at that whole business of authority earlier in the term, you see, it isn't that those in authority are always right. Because God does not cannot raise up any leader who is always right. There's no such animal. But you see, even when leaderships make a mistake, even when they do something wrong, God does not take their position or their authority away. What you will find with spiritual leaders is they're quick to adjust, to repent, to amend, to recognize when they've made mistakes, if they're true spiritual leaders. Amen? So that, because they don't want the body to be damaged. And they recognize, you see, that they are to guard the flock that is entrusted to them. So though I'm not the senior pastor now, I have this apostolic responsibility for Kingdom Faith. So what was happening on Sunday morning? I was guarding the flock that is entrusted to me against what the enemy wants to do, to come in and cause disruption, division, unbelief, fear. And you see, what the scripture says is a little leaven can affect the whole lump. You only need a few people, especially a few people of influence, and you can have widespread problems in any congregation. So, once these things are identified, they have to be addressed and they have to be amended. Mm-hmm. So, accept everything God has made available to you so you can stand steadfast when evil attacks. Yes, no matter what happens, you are able to stand firm and to remain standing. Why? Because you're trusting Jesus. You're trusting the truth. You're trusting in the Spirit. You're trusting in His Word. You are trusting in the Gospel. Not in reason, not in situation, not in circumstances, not in your doubts, not in your fears. But you're trusting God. You wear the shoes of the Gospel so that you are always ready for any eventuality and can walk in peace. See, I'm bringing out what the Scripture means, not just what it says. Why are our feet shod with the preparation of the Gospel of peace? So that the preparation, you see, so we're prepared. We're ready. We're ready. Because the first thing the devil wants to do is to disturb your peace. God has said to me over the years, many, many times, He says, Colin, let nothing disrupt your peace. Why, Jesus died to bring us into peace with Him. And you know, when there's opposition, when there's unbelief, when there's all kinds of negative things going on, the easiest thing to happen is for your peace to be disturbed. And you can find yourself thinking about these things and, you know, and all the rest. And God says, no, 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 keep your focus. Don't get away from the peace. Where is the peace? Jesus is our peace. He is our peace, the Scripture says. And Jesus stood among the disciples even when they were terrified after His crucifixion. And He said, peace be with you. And that was not just a greeting. He wasn't saying, shalom, guys, I'm here. He was imparting peace to them.
Absolutely right. Amen.
So your faith is like a shield that enables you to overcome anything the devil throws at you. What is your shield? Your faith. So if there isn't faith, there isn't the shield. And you will therefore get wounded. Those negative forces will be able to influence you because you do not have faith as a shield. Now, what you will find in many Christians is that they have faith in certain areas, but not in others. But you see, if we've got to counteract the devil, we've got to have faith in every area. I knew a wonderful, wonderful man of God, very famous, doesn't matter who it was. He was a man of great faith in certain areas of the gospel. His vulnerable area is that he didn't have any faith for healing. And I used to talk to him sometimes about it because we were often speaking together at conferences. And people were saying to him, you know, you need to be like Colin because he's got faith for healing. And he would say, no, that's not my particular ministry. And it wasn't. But you see, that was his vulnerable area. So the devil got him and he died 20 years before he should have done. Why? Because we've got to have the shield of faith in place in every area of our lives. Yeah. So it doesn't matter what the devil throws at us, we have the faith. Yeah. You see, I hear people, they almost play spiritual games with this. Oh, I'm putting on the helmet of salvation, I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. I mean, that's for cookies.
That's true.
All that all that kind of stuff is for cookies. What Paul's not talking about putting stuff on, he's talking about having faith, being righteous, believing the truth. You don't sort of put these things on when you get up in the morning and take them off when you go to bed at night. You know, somebody said to me once, I put on the armor every night, every morning I put on the armor when I get up. So I said, well, why did you take it off when you went to bed?
Exactly.
I wouldn't dream of taking my armor off. I'll keep my armor on in bed. Thank you very much. Right. I can still cuddle my wife. The spiritual armor does not get in the way, let me tell you. Hallelujah. But we won't go any further in that direction. But let me tell you, after 44 years, we are still cuddling. Hallelujah. Make of that what you will. But you see, Paul is saying your faith has to be as a shield that counteracts anything that the devil throws at you. You immediately see, wait a minute, that does not come from God. It is not the word. It is not what the Spirit says. That's me. Or that's the enemy influencing me. So I take the shield of faith against that. I'm not having that. Not influencing me, but his attempts to influence me. I'm not having that. The shield of faith. I mean, you see, how does the devil start? Just a thought. The devil doesn't say, I'm the liar and deceiver and I'm about to deceive you.
That's it. Yeah, it's true.
What is deception? Deception is believing you're right. You're absolutely convinced you're right, but you're not. Yeah. It's not deception unless you believe you're right when actually you're wrong. So you see, we test everything against God's word, don't we? But all he wants to do is just sow a negative seed, a negative thought. A negative thought is not something intrinsically sounds evil. It's just not of faith. It might be a be careful, or you might catch it. That's a weed from the devil. Why? Because he wants to build up in you the expectation you'll catch it. Whatever it is.
Right.
Just a simple little thought. But you see, if you receive the first negative, he will then sow another, and another, and another, and before you know where you are, you've got a stronghold of negativity in your mind. But we have the spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And you see, without using that language, that's what we were doing on Sunday. We were pulling down strongholds of unbelief, of rebellion, of judgment, and all these negative things that can influence Christians. There's no place for it. No place in God's church anywhere, especially here at Kingdom Faith. We are moving forward in unity. Because where there's unity, he commands the blessing. So if you don't see the blessing, it means there isn't the unity. So God wants to bring everything together in unity. But it has to be a unity of faith. Okay, your faith is like a shield that enables you to overcome anything and everything that the devil throws against you. His truth is like a belt that you keep around your waist for support. You see, you don't say, oh, I'm putting on the belt of truth today. Come on. What Paul is saying, the truth that you have in your heart is like the support that you need. Because if you get away from the truth, there's no shield. Saying the truth is the support. It's not the belt that's the support. It's the truth that's the support. Righteousness will protect you. Somebody accuses you, you have the righteousness of God. That accusation will not get through. Why? Because the accusation comes from the devil. See, it's very important when you're in leadership, you have the responsibility to sort of uncover all this stuff, but not in an accusing way. Because what you want to do is to build faith where it doesn't exist. You want to see anointing where at present people aren't flowing in anointing. But unless people see what is wrong, they can't repent. So when you're in leadership, you've got to be prepared to confront. Why? So that people can then repent and be liberated. If people don't see their sin, they can't repent of it. It's the same when somebody comes to the Lord, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people who are not believers say, oh, there's no sin in my life. You think, well, what they mean is there's no conviction of sin. But you see, what brings conviction of sin? It's the revelation of the truth. Because when you bring the revelation of truth, then people see where they're not believing or speaking or operating in the truth. And it's no use trying to justify yourself because Jesus didn't die for your excuses, only for your sin.
Come on.
And you see, God can allow all kinds of circumstances to arise in a person's life. Why? Because only then will they see what is in their hearts.
Right.
Repentance has to come from the heart, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just as faith has to come from the heart. That's what Jesus says. You must believe in your heart, he says. When you speak to the mountain, you must believe in your heart. And the same repentance. Repentance is a change of heart, change of mind. Remember, in Hebrew thought it's heart, mind, all one. Change of heart, change of mind. But you've got to see the ways in which your heart needs. You need a change of heart. Hello? Where you need to think differently.
Yes.
So the revelation that the Spirit brings is to show people where they need to repent. Now, there was a lot of repentance on Sunday morning. A lot of repentance would have been taking place in, I can't say everybody, but in many people that were there on Sunday. Especially about the way they've judged others, spoken against others. And I mean, if there's anybody there that's criticized, spoken against the leadership, they would have had the opportunity to repent. Because that's very serious in the sight of God. So righteousness, it's walking in righteousness. But you see, unbelief is unrighteousness. Come on, I'll say that again. Unbelief is unrighteousness. Why? Because the scripture says, and we quoted this on Sunday morning, the righteous will live by faith. So righteousness and faith belong together. If somebody is not walking by faith, they're walking in unrighteousness, at least in that area of their lives. And what can the devil do? He can capitalize on unrighteousness. That gives him the opportunity. And actually, that, I think, if I remember rightly, that scripture, the righteous will live by faith, is the most often quoted Old Testament scripture in the New Testament. That is quoted more times than any other verse of the Old Testament in the New Testament. The righteous will live by faith. Are you righteous?
Yes.
I said, are you righteous?
Yes.
Because Jesus is your righteousness. But you see, that in itself is an act of faith. I can stand holy, righteous, blameless before God because He is my righteousness, He is my holiness, He is my redemption. That's faith. So if somebody comes along to me and says, you know, I disagree with you, I think I'm wrong, they've got the problem, not me. So, well, that's your problem. So long as I am walking in righteousness and by faith in God's word, somebody disagrees, they're disagreeing not with me, but they're disagreeing with God, with the word, with the Spirit. So that's their problem, it's not my problem. I want to see them set free from their problem. So you see, God is speaking faith into you guys every day.
Right.
Every day you have all these lectures. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. People, God is making you people of the Word so that you're people of faith. Because you get away from the Word and you get away from faith. It's very simple. Come on, you keep holding me up. We've got to get on with this. His righteousness is like a breastplate that protects you. The assurance of your salvation. You see, yeah, the helmet of salvation. Now, what does that mean? Well, I explain it. The assurance of your salvation is like a protective helmet enabling you to encounter all the devil's lies and efforts to deceive you in your thinking. Why helmet? Because it covers your brain.
That's it.
Why did God start on Sunday with all that stuff about the cross, the assurance of our salvation? Why, if you are living in the assurance of salvation, you will walk in the truth. If you're living in the gospel, you are living in the truth.
Yeah.
And God wants that helmet of salvation. He wants that truth of the gospel to possess your mind. To fill your mind. Why? Because then you will detect immediately any thought that does not come from God, but from the evil one. Remember, your mind is usually the first line of attack. Somebody wrote a book about this some years ago called Battle for the Mind. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to influence your thinking, because then he'll influence your speaking, he'll influence your actions, he'll influence your relationships. And that's why God has given us those spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, so we can take captive what? Take captive what?
Everything.
Every thought. Every thought. Every thought. Listen, guys, I've had to learn to do this over many years. Taking captive every thought, recognizing when a thought is not of God and saying, out. I dismiss that. I refuse to accept that. Because, you know, the devil never gives up. I'm looking forward to heaven because we can enjoy the Lord without the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Amen.
Won't it be wonderful? Meanwhile, we fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
So, you not only have a defensive shield, but an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Now, Pastor Paul mentioned this the other day, and I explained to you these two words that are in the Greek that are translated word. Logos, which is the unchanging, continuous truth, of God, and Rhema. And Rhema is God's spoken word into the situation at that moment. And the word that is used here is Rhema. The sword of the Spirit that you have is not just your Bible, but it's how the Spirit will take the truth that you need in that particular situation, at that particular time. He will speak it to you so you can speak it into the situation. And if you speak it into the situation, God has spoken over the situation. Because that word has come from Him. So you see, on Sunday, it was a rhema. It was God's word into the congregation at this time, but it was full of logos. Revelation of the unchanging word of God. So often logos and rhema go together. But the important thing, you see, is that we're men and women of the Spirit. We are alert, therefore, to what God wants to speak through us. So whenever you pray, depend on the Spirit to lead you and fill your prayer with His life and power, no matter what you're asking of God. You pray at all times in the Spirit. That's what He says. How important to pray in the Spirit continually for all your fellow believers. And pray also for me. Whenever I speak in the Lord's name, I need Him to supply what I say, so that I will be able to reveal the truth of the gospel to those with no spiritual understanding. I'm still an ambassador of the truth, even though I'm in chains at present. Now, I'm just going to finish by reading this. I read that confession of faith about overcoming. This is a personal one of mine. We've never actually published this one. Those of you who's doing John's Gospel, those of you who have done John's Gospel last year, you know that there God focuses, or John really focuses, on the relationship between the Father and the Son. And that what he is teaching his readers is that we can relate to Jesus now just as Jesus related to the Father then. That would be a walk of faith, wouldn't it? So all these statements are from John's Gospel, made personally and applied to my life. So I'm just doing this because I want to give you an example of what it means to walk in the truth. I am at one with the Word of God. Word with a capital W, meaning Jesus. I am at one with the light. I have become a child of the light and can walk in the light. I receive blessing upon blessing from the fullness of His grace. I will perform miraculous deeds in His name. I am at one with the one who gave Himself to the world. So I give my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. It will be plainly seen that the things that I do are done through God. I will speak the words of God in the power of the Spirit, who He gives to me without limit. All His resources are placed in my hands. My work is His work. My food is His food, to do the Father's will and to finish His work. He will continue to work with me. I am able to live as a son of the Heavenly Father. I can do nothing by myself. I can do only what I see Him doing. He can impart His life to others through me. He will reveal His love to me and will show me what He is doing. I will judge no one, but will leave all judgment to Him. I will judge only as I hear from Him. I will not make decisions to please myself, but to please Him. He will bear witness to the fact that He has called me and that I speak and act in His name. It will be obvious to others that He has sent me to them in His name. He has placed His seal of approval on me. He Himself will feed me with the living bread from heaven and will use me to impart His life to the world. He will never drive me away. I will fulfill His will, His plan, and destiny for my life. He will draw me closer and closer to Himself. I will see Him. I will share His life in every respect. I will give His teaching, not my own. I will live as a man of truth, seeking to glorify Him in all things. There will be nothing false about me. I will walk in the truth. I belong to Him. I am at one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I will do nothing on my own in independence. What I hear from Him, I will tell the world. I will teach exactly what He gives me to teach. I will always do what pleases Him. I will tell of what I see in His presence. I will love Him. I will honor Him as my Father. I will keep His word and will never see death. I will glorify Him and He will glorify me. I will know Him and will keep His word. I will fulfill the work to which He calls me. I will feed His sheep. I will lay down my life for Him. I will do what Jesus did. He is in me and I am in Him. I will glorify His name. He will command me what to say and how to say it. He has made all His power available to me. He will be living in me doing His work. I will bring glory to Him by the things I do. He makes His home with me. He will show me what must take place. I will do exactly what He commands me. He will love me with exactly the same love with which He loved Jesus. I will obey His commands and abide in His love. I will live as His friend. His Spirit will testify about Him through me. I will have the full assurance of His joy in me. He will give me whatever I ask in His name. I will walk in faith. He will always be with me. I will exercise His authority. I have eternal life and He will raise me up. I will reveal Him to the world. Everything I have comes from him. I will believe the words he speaks to me. All that he has is mine, and all that I have is his. I will be protected by the power of his name. I have unity with all who are one with him. He has given me his glory. I will show his love to the world. He will continue to make himself known to me. His love will be in me. You see, it speaks of a mentality, of an attitude. If you keep speaking the truth over your life will come in line with the truth. It's not that I perfectly express all that, but I will keep speaking it over my life so that I express it more and more and more fully and perfectly. Let's all stand. Okay, let's just lift our hands and praise God that we have the victory over all the spiritual powers of wickedness. Thank him that your faith is your shield. Thank the Lord that he's making you a person of faith. So you stay safe under his protection because your faith is that shield. Faith in him makes him your shield. Hallelujah. You're under his care and protection. Pura tapara zatapaya. Ora tapara zatapara situ di santuba. Bora tapara zatari eleraba kara situ di santuba. Now thank him that your salvation, the assurance of your salvation, is like that helmet that will keep your mind clear of all the negatives that the enemy wants to sow. That you won't live by reason but by revelation. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Pura tapara zatapari satupa karasitu di sandaba. Bara tapari zatupa karasitu di satupa karasitu. That you're not going to listen to the devil's lies and deception, but you're going to listen to the voice of the Spirit. Thank him that the Spirit will always speak that rhema word, the right word for the right situation at the right time. And that as you speak that word over your life and over your circumstances in faith, so you will see the fulfillment of what it is that God promises and declares. Hallelujah. Putapara zatapara zatapakala sitari satuba. Basta kala zatori sale aletupakara sitari sanduba. Bosta kala zatari alera bakara sitari satubakara situba. Borata para zatapara sitri sato bakara sitoba. Bala tapari eletu bakara sitri satari eletu bakara sitoba. Bala tapari eletu bakara sitri satoba. Thank you that the Spirit, thank him that the Spirit inspires that faith in the supernatural. That our God is supernatural, his Spirit is supernatural, the truth is supernatural.
It is above the natural. It is greater than the natural. It is beyond the natural. Thank Him that as you exercise your faith, He releases the supernatural into the natural. Thank Him that your knowledge of the truth is like that belt that supports you. Hallelujah. That walking in righteousness, walking by faith, because the righteous will live by faith, walking by faith as God's righteous people is your breastplate of protection. Hallelujah. Puta para zataparia letu bakarazito ba. Bara taparia zito di saratu bakarazito di sanduma. Bora taparia zatu bakarazito di sanduma. Basta kara zataria lera bakarazito di sanduma. Bora taparia zatu bakarazito di sanduma. Busta kara zatu di saratu bakarazito di sanduma. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Pura tapari eletu bakarazitu di sanduma. Pura tapari azatu bakarazitu di sato bakarazinama. Come on, Master. Busta karazitu di sato bakarazitu di sanduma. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Jesus. Now thank Him that your fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against those spiritual powers of wickedness. And thank the Lord that you have authority over all of them, that you do not have to allow your life to come under the influence of any spirit of deception, any spirit of fear, any spirit of unbelief, any spirit of rebellion, any spirit of disobedience. Come on, you have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Now thank the Lord that you're following the mighty warrior. Come on, He's going ahead of you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.